5. Sorrow Down Below. Mr. Lovelace grabbed at and held on to a beam. Justice clutched his arms around his father's leg and held on for very life. Mrs. Lovelace clung to the steps that led above, her knuckles white under the strain. Prudence gripped her mother's skirt. She buried her face deep in the folds of her apron. She desperately wished to hide from the hideous chaos. "Order, please," rang out the strong voice of Mr. Lovelace. "Order, please." He had a dreadful task to make his lone voice heard above the scream of the wind, the shouts of the people, and the relentless battering of the waves. But, gradually, the human noise died down, and all that was left was the raging of the elements outside. The people began to pick themselves up. They held their heads bent, forced down by the lowness of the beams, but also by the confusion of their shame. "This is no way to face the storm," said Mr. Lovelace sternly. "Do we trust in God? Let's show our trust to the ungodly that are with us on this voyage. What a dreadful testimony we are to God's goodness, behaving like this. It's our first storm. We shall have many more. And look at us." He waved an arm. The people listened with their heads bowed and their eyes cast to their feet. As they listened, they grew more and more ashamed at their lack of self-discipline in the face of trouble. Mr. Lovelace went on to give orders to the company. There was a softer pitch to his voice. "Get yourselves sorted out. Come, my friends. Get your things," he said. "Get them back to your quarters. Let's settle down again. Move, I say, move there." Within a few minutes, something like order had been restored. Chaos yielded to order once again. The pots and pans had all been rescued. Precious, cherished bundles were restored to their rightful place once more. All movable objects had been lashed securely with ropes. Once again, families were settled in their little groups. Wounds were being tenderly bound and bandaged. Discipline reigned below once again. But all was chaos outside. The ship continued to lurch violently. The wind still roared about her mercilessly. The waves were by now crashing right onto the main deck above. But down below, the people, although in almost total darkness and cramped and sore, were mainly protected from the worst of the tempest. Prudence sat with the small of her back pressed against the hard boards of the ship. She was lashed, like her parents and brother, by strong cords about her waist. These kept her right against the side of the ship. Her mother's arm was tight about her, too. This gave her consolation and comfort. Prudence felt cold. She was soaked to the skin by the sea water. She shivered. She felt like crying, but she bravely fought back her tears. She knew she must not cry. She bit her lip. She could taste the salt. She could restrain herself no longer. She felt the warm trickle of the tear down her face. She tasted its saltiness. She was beginning to cry in silence. She bent her head. She tried to hide her face. She felt afraid and ashamed. "I must not cry. I must not," she repeated to herself. She drummed the words into her mind. She pressed her fingers deep into her palms. But she was unable to hold back the salty stream. Her tears flooded down her face. Her chest heaved with deep sobs. Her mother's arm clutched her even more tightly. "Do not be afraid. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and dries it up. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him." Her mother's voice sounded so sure and steady. "Will we die, mother?" Would this tiny ship of ours be able to overcome these waves? Will we be smashed against the rocks? As she spoke, the ship gave another mighty lurch. Prudence's face peered up anxiously at her mother. She was just able to make out her tender smile. She looked so serene. Her mother bent her head down toward her. Prudence felt her mother's warm, soft cheek gently pressed against her brow. Her mother kissed her and pressed her close. No, my child, no. God cares for those who trust in him. How do you know that, mother? Prudence listened to her wavering, trembling voice. She was unable to hide her fear. How do you know we shall be safe? How do you know? God has told us so, my child. He told us long ago through his prophet Nahum in the Old Testament. And God never breaks his word, never. He will bring us through. You'll see. The two fell silent. Mrs. Lovelace placed her head back against the side of the ship. She closed her eyes. Prudence sensed her tears drying. She closed her eyes and clutched her mother closely. She pressed her face into her mother's dress. Softly, so softly, Mrs. Lovelace began to sing. Her eyes still gently closed. Prudence gladly drank in the words. How sweet they were. They came from the Book of the Psalms, the 46th. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Mrs. Lovelace's soft voice wavered not. The family next to them caught the song. It spread like wildfire around the hold, and soon the whole company was joined in the swelling chorus. It reached above the violence of the raging of the storm outside. The pilgrims all sang together, "Be still and know that I am God. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The sea and wind made their own roaring contribution, but the mounting tide of the pilgrim's song overcame the tumult of the elements. Mrs. Lovelace glanced down. Prudence had fallen into a gentle sleep, with a soft smile upon her lips. Mrs. Lovelace held her close. She closed her own eyes and leant her head back upon the hard beam behind her. She sighed softly. How good, she thought, how good it is to have the Lord of the ocean, the Lord God Almighty, with us in this tiny ship.